Welcome to the HCI family of podcasts. We're your source for personal, professional, and organizational growth and development. We share our own original research, explore industry trends, and interview executives and thought leaders from across the globe. Join us for practitioner-oriented content around all things leadership, HR, talent management, organizational development, and change management. Maximize your personal and organizational potential with the HCI family of podcasts. Katie Maris, welcome to the conversation today.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me, John.
It is a pleasure to be with you. You're joining us from Toronto. I'm south of Salt Lake City in Utah. And today we're going to be talking about resilience building and women's empowerment. Now, I think resilience building, this topic applies, of course, to anybody. But within this particular context of trying to lift and empower women around us, I think it's an incredibly important topic. Now, it's obvious probably to everyone who's listening that I am a dude. In fact, I'm a straight cisgender white guy. And so I recognize I come to conversations like this with a whole immense amount of privilege. And I want to be an ally. I want to be an advocate. And so I look forward to this conversation. And I think there will be some great ideas on how we can better support and empower women in the workplace. As we get started, I wanted to share Katie's bio with everybody. As a brand experience expert, TED Talk speaker, and number one best-selling author of Custom Her Experience, Katie Maris knows firsthand the challenges organizations encounter as they strive to design a sustainable and effective CX program tailored for the female consumer. Katie brings a unique blend of experience, combining her expertise in customer experience, resilience building, and women's empowerment. Using her experiences as a chief inspiration officer, building company infrastructure, and designing customer experience programs, she's now a leading voice for positive, actionable change in the organizations with which she partners. Now, I could go on, but I'm going to pause there. Anything else, Katie, that you would like to highlight by way of your background, personal context, before we dive on into the conversation?
No, I mean, I think that pretty much sums it up. I mean, I'm a mom of three, so there's that. Other than that, I'm a choice maker is something that I believe that life is a series of choices we make. And I think resilience is the choice. And I think the way we show up in this world is a choice. And so besides all of these things, even how we decide to show up and treat our consumers or even put them first is a choice. So I'd like to say that with that, all that wonderful bio, I'm more of a choice maker than anything else.
Yeah, I like that. We all find ourselves within particular contexts. As I mentioned a minute ago, you know, I happen to come with a lot of privilege to my background, not to say that there aren't other things that are challenging and hard for me, just like there is for anyone else. Within each context that everyone finds themselves, they have a sphere of influence and they have a sphere of choice. And sometimes those choices are limited or restricted due to privilege or lack of thereof, but we still do have choice within context. And I like that kind of empowering sentiment that ultimately let's own what we can control. Let's choose how we're going to respond to the world and the context around us. And hopefully we can do it in a way that's not only, you know, good for us, but also lifting those around us as well.
Yeah, I think you can even take it one step further, and that's to find purpose in the things that we can control. So, you know, we can't always control the hand of cards we're dealt, but we sure as heck can control how we play that hand of cards. Yeah. And I think that if we find purpose in showing up and choosing, you know, to be a servant leader, to have a servant mindset, to look at life, you know, as in, you know, only good things can happen from where we stand. There's great purpose in the choice to be able to control those things, to control your outcomes. And if we can find that purpose, it makes the decisions we have to make and the choices we have to make so much easier.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that feeds into the first part of what we were going to discuss today, and that is resilience building. I think the first step in resilience building is acknowledging what we can control and what we can't control and choosing to step into, you know, the context we find ourselves in to proactively make choices, right? Can you tell us a little bit about how you think about and frame up resilience building in your own work?
Yeah. So for me, resilience, we applaud and see the big names on stage, right? Like we see the Ed Milettes of the world, Mel Robbins, Tony Robbins, the Cardones, Danelle Delgado. There's just these there, and there's a plethora of these speakers that show up on these stages that talk about resilience, and they are resilient. They are rags to riches, right? Like they fought the hard fight, and they kept going, and they've arrived. The thing that's not tangible for every other human is the fact that not every other human is going to arrive on a big stage. Not every other human's life is going to reward them with this huge monumental moment that says, yes, I'm resilient. Resilience to me is the fact that you wake up in the morning and you decide to take that step forward. That's resilience. If you're battling with depression and you get out of bed, that's resilience. If you battle an eating disorder and you decide to put that aside and nourish your body, that's resilience. If you're in a bad relationship and, you decide to believe in yourself and, to get out of that relationship, that's resilience. If you lose your job and you square your shoulders and you don't let it, stop you in your tracks, that's resilience. Or maybe your child does something. What I'm saying is we need to start celebrating resilience in micro doses, because that's what builds big resilience. And when you see these individuals on stage, which it's amazing, they're amazing stories. And I'm building my story of resilience right now as well. I have my own story. We all do, but that's the thing. We all have our stories. And just because you're not on a huge stage or, what you don't think is monumental, I beg to differ. I think it is. I think that resilience is a day by day feat. It is a moment by moment feat. And when you add up all those tiny moments, it amounts to something big.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And like you say, I really appreciate, there's value in seeing kind of the big names and people feel inspired by them. And if that can influence people to make those choices in their lives, fantastic. But yeah, the rags to riches stories, you take them with a grain of salt, because it's a one in a million kind of scenario. Like most people who, and I no doubt, like someone like Tony Robbins, great guy, hard worker. He's put a lot of effort into a long, successful career. I don't think anyone would really question that, like that he works.
No,
hard,
not at all. Right? Not at all. I think that every single one of those individuals that have made it on a big stage have worked their butt off. And when we talk about resilience, that story of resilience is huge. It's just not, and it's beautiful. What I'm saying is that it's not, you don't have to have that big moment to be resilient. Resilience is far more obtainable than social media allows us to believe, that we're resilient every single day.
Yeah. And someone like Tony Robbins, again, a one in a million kind of a situation. He works hard, but so do you, so do I, so do like everyone who's listening. It works hard. Like most people show up in the day and they work their butt off. Yeah. And for most people, that means they work their butt off to survive. They work their butt off to put food on the table, to pay their rent, to be there for their kids. And sometimes someone breaks through and they have like some of that huge kind of celebrity success. Most of the time, though, the vast majority of the time, that's not what happens for most people, even when they work hard, even when they are, and they have, like you say, there are all these day by day, decision by decision points of resilience where we show up, where we choose to show up. And sometimes we're not our best self, but we choose to show up anyways. And we choose to put our next foot forward, take that step into the darkness, whatever cliche kind of analogy you want to use, but they're real in the sense that like, it really does matter if you just choose to show up and take that next step. And everyone is dealing with stuff. Everyone has baggage. Everyone has, physical challenges, mental health challenges, whatever, like name the thing, that everyone is dealing with stuff. And so just choosing to show up and to try to tackle to the best of your ability any given point in time, the challenges that are facing you that day, I agree with you. That is resilience. And it doesn't have to end with you being a celebrity, with you being, you know, someone who becomes a bestseller or anything like that. It could just be you showing up for your kids, you know, and having a relationship with them. It could just be, you know, you don't have a job that you love, but you're sacrificing and showing up to put food on the table to take care of your family or your loved ones,
or you don't have a job that you love and you've decided to make that change for yourself. That's resilience. Yeah. You've decided to take on, hey, I'm gonna take a risk and I'm gonna believe in my self-worth and living the life that I want to live. So I'm gonna switch that job, or I'm gonna apply for that job that I never thought that I'd actually have a chance at. That's resilience, you know, and how you handle the outcome of those choices, that's also resilience. And I just think that we don't give ourselves enough credit every single day for the things that we do, the choices we make, and how we don't celebrate putting that, you know, one foot in front of the other. We just think we have to. Well, no, we don't have to. It's a choice. We can be on the streets. We can choose to drink too much, make the wrong choices, not work out, not eat healthy. That's also a choice. God gave us agency. So we should be celebrating the good choices we make every day, because that shows resilience, because you haven't given up.
Yeah. So how do you start? Like if I'm someone who's feeling beaten down, overwhelmed, maybe there's a mental health challenge, maybe there's not, but all of us have been there where we felt that way. What would you say to someone you're working with to try to help them take those first steps to show up in the moment where they find themselves, you know, as hard as the context may be? Like you may find yourself in a really rough, tough situation. There's no platitudes that can get you out of it. It's just something you're going to have to work through. Like how do you steel yourself up to be able to face some of those initial hard things, especially if you're at the point of feeling just beaten down?
Yeah. I mean, I can speak from experience. So about 5 months ago, I was, and I will use the word discarded, because I was in a very abusive, narcissistic relationship, physical, mental, emotional, financial, all of the above. And about five months ago, I was discarded. I was told to go sell my body for groceries. I had invested in his businesses. I had debt because of him. And I was left with nothing. And now I'm fighting to get my money back. I'm fighting to survive. I'm fighting to put food on the table. And 5 months ago, I mean, at that point, regardless of what the relationship was, I lost the love of my life too, on top of it all. Like I thought he was my everything and we were going to build life together and all the things. And about 5 days after it all happened, I was sitting on the couch, you know, crying, and a girlfriend called me and she said, "Katie, it's time to take off your sad girl pants and put on your badass pants. And it's time to get going. You've cried for 5 days. Let's go." And I'm sitting here going, okay. She's like, "You have a voice. You have a platform. You had a career before him. You can have a career again. You can't, but you won't if you just sit there." So within 5 weeks of being discarded, I built a new organization called Ladies Take Control, and where I'm breaking my silence. And I created our very first virtual platform. We had 250 women attend an event, and it was incredible. And we're still building, still growing. But the reason I tell that story is because the very, very first thing that I did is that I allowed somebody to help me. I allowed somebody to tell me what I didn't want to hear, but what I needed to hear. And I think a lot of times when we're down and out and we're in the dumps and, you know, like, look, I was fighting at the end of that relationship, I was fighting depression. So I was, you know, barely able to shower. I barely able to eat, barely able to like really function or do anything. So there's two prongs to it. Is one, when I was in that depressed state, I celebrated my therapy, and I was lucky enough to be able to access therapy, because I know not everybody has that privilege. And I can tell you here in Ontario, because right now I don't have access to therapy, which I desperately need, but it's a 6 to 8 month waiting list. So I completely understand when I say I get it. Not everybody had has access to therapy. I did at that point. And at that point, my therapist was working with me on celebrating every small win. So it was celebrating taking a shower, celebrating brushing my teeth, celebrating eating a meal. And that's those little steps of resilience, right? You did it and you can celebrate it. Give yourself permission to celebrate it. But even before you get to that point, you have to build yourself, whether it's a one-person community or a two-person community or a five-person community, you can't do it on your own, and that's okay. You know, coming to that realization that, you know, in your own head, being in your own head is not necessarily healthy, because you're just at a war with yourself. You're in a war between you and you, and there's no one there to break up that war, because you're just going to be on this perpetual cycle. So being jolted by this friend of mine that said, Katie, enough. I mean, yeah, did I want more compassion at that moment? 100%. Did I want to be a victim at that moment? Without a doubt, I was a victim. But she gave me a little shake and I was open to it. And so what I would say is, when you are in a spot and when you're stuck at a crossroads, when you're looking between, you know, a set of obstacles or a set of opportunities, because really it's dependent on what you choose to see. It can be only good can happen from here, or no, life is horrible. Like we have that choice, is to be open to hearing what you don't want or think you need to hear. And being open to the fact that you in fact hold that power to make that change. And building a community and having somebody around you that's willing to tell you the truth and help you move, even if it's just an inch, a centimeter. I would say that is, for me at least, from my experience, was the number one change, you know, change agent for me, was being open to hearing that I needed to get out of my own way. Now, could I have taken a little bit more time to heal? Sure. I mean, it was 5 days after, but take the time, do your healing, do what you need to do, but be open, because we often aren't able to look in the mirror right away and own our own, I don't know if I can swear on this thing, but own our own shit. Like, okay, cool. So like we often don't own our own shit. We place blame and I mean, so I'm a very faith-based woman. I believe in God. I believe that the moment that I surrendered myself to him in full submission of faith and hope, that that's when I was open to having help, and also when he started to surround me with my community. But it's, for me, is really about, the first step is, who's around you? Who can you trust? And how do you get over out of your own head? How do you open yourself up? Because at the end of the day, nobody's coming to save you but you. And it's a harsh reality. And I hope that you listening right now, I hope you hear that it comes from, the sentiment comes from like the bottom of my heart. But it is your choice. It is your choice to stand still, or your choice to move forward. It's your choice to go backwards. At the end of the day, resilience and the situation that you're in, the only person that gets to change that, or who can change that, is you. So I would say, accepting that reality and surround yourself with people who are going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Like, I remember my girlfriend said to me, she said, Katie, if you go back, I love you, but I will not be here for you. I will not judge you, but I can't help you. And my sister said to me, hey, I won't judge you, but I can't help you if you go back. I can help you if you're here. And so I had all these loving, tough conversations that came my way that really just made me realize that, well, shoot, if I go back, I'll probably be dead. And whether that'll be myself, or by way of myself, or the way of him. So maybe I should start listening to people on the outside, because clearly what I'm doing, what I'm choosing every day, is not working. And that's a hard pill to swallow, because you can be a victim, but you don't have to have a victim mindset. You can choose different.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I also, to highlight, you know, I suspect your sister, your girlfriend, that these individuals know you well. So they yes. know what they can say and what you can handle and what you can take and the tough love that will work for you. And
yes,
just to highlight, like everyone's situation is different and everyone's
100%. Oh
context
my gosh,
is different. And everyone's support system is different. And right. So there's no like prescription here, 5 days and boom, you're ready to go. Like, yeah, some people are going to take time to heal, especially if they've been in a really abusive type of relationship.
Oh, I'm still healing. Oh my goodness. I mean, it's crazy.
Exactly.
We yeah, all do exactly. it in our own way. And I think the prescription is just to be open and to be humble. That's yeah. the prescription. And in whatever way it comes to you, is just to be open and humble to receiving the help. And sometimes it's not even like and I don't even say it's loving feedback that I received, but it's just being open to say, okay, yes, I do need help. Like even yeah. that choice is hard for a lot of individuals to make because we're proud.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we live in a world and a society in particular in the US and I don't know if it's this way as much in Toronto or in Canada, but certainly in the US, we're an individualistic society. You know, like we put a lot of weight on people's accomplishments. We put a lot of weight on, one's ability to, even this conversation around resilience, sometimes it gets caricatured and it gets put into what some people call toxic resilience to this point yeah. where we're like, we can't even like, we have to always be brave and
oh
be
my
able
goodness.
To.
I know. I feel that all the time.
Yeah. So if we, yes. Like that's not
it's
what
like
we're
you
talking
feel
about.
Bad for feeling bad. I'm like, no, sometimes yeah. you just got to feel bad. Like it's yeah, real. It's real.
Exactly. So all of that, I think coming to a place where we can accept and desire and actually allow for the support systems around us, our friends, family, neighbors, whatever that looks like for us, that we can allow for that to happen because we're so trained, towards self-sufficiency.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of benefits to like, there's a lot of good things related to that, but sometimes it can become toxic and sometimes it can cause us to cut ourselves off from those around us that love us, that care about us, that want to help us. Mm-hmm. One thing I wanted to ask, as we have a little bit of time remaining, again, I'm a dude, I want to be supportive of the women in my life, whether that be at home, in my neighborhood, at work, whatever. I want to show up for people. I want to be an advocate and an ally, and help those who are building, this resilience in themselves. What would you say are, maybe a couple of things that people like me can start to do today to better support female empowerment?
Gosh. So I think that, the biggest thing that we can do, man or woman, to support anybody is sponsorship and opening doors and seeing talent and rewarding talent, being a mentor, offering education, offering words of wisdom, offering, even past that, the steps in order to get where they want to go. But I would say sponsorship, from a man's perspective and a woman's perspective is, a lot of women actually act, with a scarcity mindset. It's like, it took me so long to get here. I had to scrape my knees. I had to fall on my face. I had to, walk the tough terrain. Why should she, the one behind me, have the same opportunity, but way quicker? I actually think we need to sponsor other women and open up those doors if we have the ability, because it's not necessarily what you know, it's who you know and who knows you that gets you where you want to be. Like, you can go back to the gurus of the world. They met somebody that sponsored them. Their big break came because they were put, and don't get me wrong, their hard work got them to a place where yeah. they were put in the circle. So they did all the hard work, but they had somebody that believed in them more than they believed in their self. And so I think the things that any man or woman can do to empower females and start kind of closing that equality gap is to believe in the people around you and not come from a scarcity mindset and actually promote and sponsor these humans and give them the opportunity to step into their power.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. Katie, I note the time. I'm going to have to let you go here in just a minute, but this has been a fantastic conversation. Before we wrap things up for today, I just wanted to give you a chance to share with the audience how they can connect with you, find out more about your work, and then give us the final word on the topic for today.
Yeah. Okay. So you can check out katiemaris.com from my customer experience, custom her experience, my keynote talking and all that fun stuff. Ladiestakecontrol.com is the new passion near and dear to my heart. We actually have an event coming up in June. I will send you the link, but you can get free tickets on the website as well. It's free. There's no reason not to be there. We have some incredible speakers. And then you can find me literally wherever social is, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. I'm trying to figure out Snapchat, but I'm 40. And so I don't know if that'll ever happen. So there's there, you can find me there. And then a parting word, just love yourself, know your worth, and show up as you. Be authentically you. You are one in 43 trillion. There's no other possibility for another one of you to be born on this earth. So just embody who you are, because that's who you're supposed to be, and you're wonderful, and step into that power of being authentically you.
I love it. Thank you so much, Katie. It's been a real pleasure. I encourage the audience to reach out, get connected, find out more about what Katie can do for you. And as always, I hope everyone can stay healthy and safe, that you can find meaning and purpose at work each and every day. And I hope you all have a great week. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the podcast. We hope you stay healthy and safe, and please join us again soon.